All right. Well, it's good to be in the Lord's house again. I've said it, but sometimes it bears repeating. You never could say how good it is to be in church. You never can thank the Lord enough for a place that He gives you to come to. And this place has stood here for year after year after year, generation after generation. It's been here. And Lord willing, if the Lord tarries and time goes on and He don't come back and get us, my hope and prayer is long after all of us are gone, it's still going to be here. And it's still going to be preaching the gospel. I hope that whoever's hands it winds up in as time goes on, I hope they don't deviate from this book. And I hope they don't step out. And I hope they don't try to change the Word of God. I hope they leave it unadulterated and inerrant just like it is and just like God intended it to be preached. And that's my hope and prayer. But as long as we're here, bless God, that's the way it's going to be. And we ain't going to deviate from it. We're going to stick to it as best as we can, as we can comprehend the truths of this book, we're going to stick to them. And we're going to follow them every step of the way. You got your Bibles this morning. I'm going to preach out of Psalm chapter 8. And we're going to get two places, actually. But I want to get Psalm 8 first. And then we're going to flip over to Psalm 50. And we'll conclude right there. But I want to preach to you about some things that God doesn't need to be in 2020. Some things that God doesn't need to be in 2020. Now, there are a lot of things that He is and a lot of things that we need Him to be. But there's some things, brother and sister, that people have made God that God was never intended to be. And I think it happens in a lot of cases unknown. It's something that people do ignorantly. And they don't even realize that they've done it. But sometimes the people of God put God in a position or give Him a character that He was never intended to have. And I believe that's something we're all guilty of. Psalm chapter 8, if you will please stand with me this morning. We're honoring the Word of God and reverencing the Word of God. Psalm chapter 8, we're going to read the whole thing. It's only 9 verses. But here's David's take on the difference between the Son of God and the sons of men. Because he tells you, Lord, our Lord. He's claiming Him. He ain't just the Lord. He's our Lord. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. Who hast set Thy glory above the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast Thou ordained strength, because of Thine enemies, that Thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Now here's where he's kind of starting to switch gears. When I consider Thy heavens, the work of Thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which Thou hast ordained. Now he's still on God, but he's fixing to switch gears. He says, when I think about all that stuff, verse 4, what is man? What is man that Thou art mindful of him? And the son of man, that Thou visitest him. For Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of Thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. Now, Father, as we come again to the throne, we pray for Your special touch and blessings upon us as we endeavor to preach. And, Lord, we pray that You'd fill us with the Spirit and power of Almighty God, asking, Father, that You'd help us this morning, give us strength in our body, Lord, which is weak, and this flesh, which is weak. And I pray that You'd set a guard of watch before our lips, that we'd say only that which would please You. And we'll be sure to bow these unworthy heads to give You the praise and the honor and the glory for it. For it is in Your name and for Your sake we do pray. Amen. Amen. All right, now, man, as a human being, and you know all about this, so all I'm doing is retreading over some things here. But man is a very fickle creature. Man is a very fickle creature in the fact that they just can't decide what they want from one way or the other. That's why when it comes to these children, one of the things that I've always felt, even before I was a parent, one of the things that I believed and one of the things that the Bible teaches is when children are the age of, when children, before they come to an age where they are able to make their own decisions, it is not a wise thing for a mom or a dad to let a child make a decision on their own. Because a child does not have the ability nor the maturity to comprehend the long-term effects of what this decision may or may not mean. I know that in the days past, and when a child lived in their parent's house, the parent made the decision, even if the child was 19, 20, or 21 years old, and the parent made the decision for the child because the child had not yet decided that it was mature enough to get out of mom and dad's house and start taking care of itself. When that become the situation, well, back in the day, that is when they decided that, well, this young'un must feel like they're able to take care of themselves. Hence, the maturity came, and they were allowed to make their own decisions. Now, you've got moms and dads who are letting 10 and 11-year-old kids make choices for themselves. Hey, you going to get up and do this today? Hey, you going to get up and do that today? No, I don't think I'm going to do that. I don't feel like doing it. No, listen, mom and dad need to step up and quit being fickle about what they let their kids be, because I'm going to tell you something. That's what leads to kids becoming fickle as adults. They don't know what they want. They don't know which direction they want to go in. They don't know what they need to do. And one of the reasons is because they've been given that authority over their own life before they even understood the gravity of the situation that it entailed. They didn't understand the fact that as a young person, they got somebody to watch over them. God blessed them with somebody to watch over them and to make decisions for them that would be in their best interest, so that when they got old enough to make their own decisions, they would consider all the possible factors and not just what's going to take care of me right here, right now, and not something that I've got to think about in the future. And that's the situation that they get in. Some of the things that mankind finds itself wrapped up in is, I want the thing. I want the top of the line. I want the best of the best. I want first rate, but I want to pay the cheapest price for it. Now that's the mentality of humankind, is I want the best of the best, but I don't want to pay what the best of the best costs. And that's why these people on Black Friday and the day after Christmas and all these different holidays, that's why these people in these stores make an absolute killing off of people that are willing to get. Now listen to me for just a minute, and I might meddle for just a second. And if I do, you're just going to have to get over it. It's the first Sunday of the new year, so I've got to ride a little bit of, I've got to ride a hobby horse around for just a minute, especially considering that I ain't got preachy all in nearly 2 weeks because of weather and because of sickness. But let me tell you something. Why is it that you can get people to get up out of bed at 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning to get to a Black Friday sale or to get to an after Christmas sale, but you can't get them out of the bed before 10 o'clock to get to a church service? Now, to me, your priorities are wrong, which means you're wrong. Amen, amen, amen. We'll get up at the crack of dawn or whatever time we have to go do this or to go do this or to make this appointment or to make that worldly appointment or to go on this trip or to make that trip, but you can't get out of the bed on a Sunday morning in time to get to church by 10 a.m. Come on, man. Give me a break. If your job depended on it, you'd be there every day at the time appointed. But let me tell you something. Eternity doesn't really matter to us. Sorry, can I rephrase that? Eternity don't matter to you. I'm not putting you in my boat. I never have put you in my boat when it comes to picking out my own personal problems. I ain't going to put you in my boat. Because I'm going to tell you something. I think about eternity. And I think about God's eternity. I think about what's going to wait in eternity. And whenever I think about that, I think, man, there's some things worth investing in that I need to be paying more attention to, and I'm not paying enough attention to the eternal things of God, and that means I'm going to reap what I get down here, and I ain't going to have nothing up there. And that's the way a lot of them are going to be. They want a first-rate price, but they want to pay second-rate for it. I'll tell you another thing. There's another thing about it. Why is it that man can be so fickle as to go through the drive-thru at the McDonald's or the Burger King or the Chick-fil-A or wherever we go, and if we sit there for more than 5 minutes, we are ready to spit nails at somebody. But yet we go into the doctor's office, and he gets us in, and he tells you what's wrong with you, and he gives you the prescription. He sends you out the door, and the first thing we say is, well, his bedside manner's horrible. He didn't care nothing about me personally. He didn't care nothing about the fact that how this news would affect me. He just got me out of there like I was just a number on a sheet. See what I mean? Fickle, man. We're fickle. I want to be on the front of the bus. I want to be in the back pew of the church. I want to be the center of attention. I want to be the bride at every wedding and the corpse at every funeral. You know? Make it about me. Make it about me. But it can't be me the way that I think it. It can't be the way God wants me to be. I want it to be the way I want it to be. So I change like the wind blows. Amen. And everybody just needs to keep up with me. They need to know how I'm feeling this particular day. But see, when it comes to comparing the Lord and man, because that's what David does here. He compares the Lord to man. He says, when I think about all the things you've done, and I think about how great your name is in all the world, and I think about all the things that you've done, the sun, the moon, the stars, and all the things that you've created, the one thing that I start thinking about is, Lord, with all of this that you've done, what makes you still able to be mindful of man? What is man that you're mindful of him? You know, I have to ask myself now that I'm looking 2020 in the face. We're right here in it. Both feet, we're not easing into it. It's here. We've been in 2020 for the last 5 days. Had to get my dates right. Been in 2020 for the last 5 days. There ain't no more getting ready for it. It's here. And it's ticking right along. You're going to turn around twice. It's going to be March. And the cold's going to be gone. And the spring's going to come in. The flowers are going to start blooming. God forbid, the grass is going to start growing again. And I'm going to have to get out there and mow it, me and Brother Sorrell. We're going to have to get there and blow all the junk off the roads and get all the tree limbs cleaned up. And it's going to be time for spring cleaning. Next thing you know, we're going to turn around. Another school year is going to be gone. And these kids are going to be another year older. And some of them are going to be getting ready to book it out of middle school. And some of them getting ready to go into high school. But you know, you have to ask yourself this question. Look in 2020 right in the face, and you're fixing it. You're walking into it. You're into it now, and you're heading down the road now, 2020. How many times? Now, look back now. As you're in 2020, you look back on 2019, and you need to ask yourself this question. How many times has God delivered you? How many times has God brought you through? How many times have you went through a financial struggle and God delivered you? How many more is it going to take for us to go through before we start trusting the Lord with everything? How many times is God going to have to deliver you from a sickness or an illness before you'll give Him your health? How many times is it going to take God delivering you from sorrow and delivering you from grief before you'll give Him your heart? We'll trust everybody else with it. And then when they break it, we come crawling back to whoever it is will pet us and pamper us. But God has been there every step of the way. He's never left. He's never forsaken. He's never walked out on you. He's never betrayed your trust. Amen, and how long is it going to be ere we keep getting our heart broken, our sin, and our spirit broken, our discouragement comes upon us? And every time we do that, He's still standing there waiting. Amen. How long ere we give Him our heart? Turn it all over to Him. When it comes to comparing the Son of God to the sons of men, there's nowhere else to, there's no way the balance is going to tip in His favor every time. Now come with me to Psalm 51, or 50. Not 51. I want you to go to Psalm 50. And I want to give you some things this morning by the help of the Lord, some things that God does not need to be this year. I believe that God is a lot of things, and I believe He's everything, but I tell you, there's some things I believe that we make Him that He doesn't need to be or deserve to be. And anyway, we still give Him these attributes and these characters. Psalm 50, look at verse 21. These things hast thou done. Now this is the Lord speaking. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself. You see that? The Lord says, you sat there and thought that because I didn't say anything about what you were doing, that that meant I was like you. That I thought like you thought. Or that you mistook my silence for indifference or a pass. But he says, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. So what is he talking about? He's talking about the thing that people have portrayed him to be is not what he is, and they mistook the silence that sometimes come with what they put him in as his approval of what they had done. And that's not the case at all. Because there's some things, brother and sister, that you are asking for when you start trying to bring God down to your level or make God like you. And that you're asking for trouble. You're asking for trouble. It's always a mistake. But I want to tell you some things that God don't need to be this year for you and I. Number one, he don't need to be Santa Claus. I'm not Santa Claus, bellhop. That's one of them, though. Santa Claus, we're going to get to him here in a minute. He don't need to be a bellhop for you. Amen. What's a bellhop do? Bellhop's there to make you happy. He's there to lug your junk in, keep it there as long as you want to stay, and then lug your junk out. And that's what we make God sometimes. That's what we, I mean, he's only there to serve you. It's like he's just sitting around with his hands behind his back, and he's waiting on you to... Step two, Lord, come on, I've got a burden I'm carrying. You've got to pick that thing up, cart it in there for me. He says, yeah, but I delivered you from all these burdens. I delivered you from all this stuff. You're free. If the Son made you free, you're free indeed. Yeah, but I choose to carry these around. Now grab a hold of it and let's go. God don't need to be a bellhop this year. It's like he's there to make us happy versus us there to make him happy. That's what we've made him. Lord, I'm not happy with you, and I'm not happy with the things you've given me or done in my life, so therefore you and I must not be on good terms. Because what you're doing is not making me happy. Has it ever occurred to you that maybe what makes you happy is not what makes God happy? Maybe the things that you take pleasure and enjoyment in is not the kind of things that God takes enjoyment and gets pleasure out of. But yet it still stands to reason that every time we go and we do and we live, however, whatever it may be, we're taking him with us. Don't you? You take him with you everywhere you go. You sit down to watch a show. You sit down to flip through Instagram or Facebook or whatever it may be, and everything you're looking at, God's looking at. Everything you're listening to, God is hearing. And worse off, everything you touch, God is touching. Say, oh, that's not, no, that is. It very much so is. I planned on teaching this morning in Sunday school. I was going to start teaching on the body and the soul and the spirit. And that's what I was going to start teaching on this morning for Sunday school. Lord willing, next week, that's what I'm going to start. And it's very, very important that you understand the difference. Because what we don't understand is we don't understand that there is a difference between them. People mistake them, think them the same thing, but they're not. We'll get into that next week. Also, I want you to notice that the Lord don't need to be your televangelist this year either. Amen. Amen. Say, these are some pretty crazy things. Yeah, they are. But you know what? They stick. Because this is what we thought God, this is what we sometimes think God ought to be. Say, what do you mean God ought to be my televangelist? Yeah, all positive. Just preaching positive. If you preach anything negative, I don't want to hear it. I'm not interested. All I ever hear is negative, negative, negative. I need to hear something good for a change. Well, that ain't God. 75% of your commandments in Exodus say, thou shalt not. They're negative. And the Lord preached, as the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on this earth, preached more on hell than he did on heaven. So if you're looking for positivity, the only thing you can be positive of is that God don't need to be your televangelist. I'll tell you something else God don't need to be in regards to your televangelist. He don't need to be one of these of, well, you give to get. I give it with the spoon and you give it back to me with a shovel. You know, I'm not going to tell, you guys know me, y'all know me. I don't preach on tithing and all this. I believe that's something personal between you and God. And if you do it the way God tells you to do it, then you're doing it right. Amen. But if you do it the way you think you ought to do it, then that's between you and God. But I will tell you this, maybe this year, and I'm not saying this because we need money or anything. God will take care of everything we need. We ain't worried about money. But I'm saying, as a thing between you and God, maybe you ought to think about being a little more generous this year. Just a thought. I mean, just give it because it's good to give it. Give it because God could bless you for it, and even if He don't, say, Lord, this is yours anyway. This ain't mine. It's yours. Every bit of it's yours. Say, oh, preacher, you just don't know. Listen, just take a step on faith and just say, Lord, I just feel like I need to do this. I just feel like I need to do this one time or two times. Whenever God may ask you to do it, whenever He may put it on you to do it. Say, Lord, I just feel like this is something I need to do. And you just step out on faith and just trust God. I mean, what kind of God would we have if I couldn't trust Him with a dime out of a dollar?
Amen.
What kind of God would it be if He couldn't provide for me when I gave Him a dime out of a dollar? But not only that, and I mentioned this a minute ago, kind of jumped my gun here, but God don't need to be Santa Claus.
Right.
You know, He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. You know, He's making a list. He's checking it twice, going to find out who's naughty or nice. No, I got news for you. You're all naughty.
Amen.
You're all naughty. Bible says all of sin comes short of the glory of God. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. You're all naughty. You're all on the naughty list. They ain't no naughty and nice list. Say, oh, well, Josh was a pretty good boy this year. We'll give him a little something, something. You know, God ain't sitting up there in the North Pole waiting on your list to arrive so that He can load His heavenly sleigh up with all the answers to your prayers and come and dump them right down your chimney. And that's not the kind of God you've got. And I'm glad of that. Can I say that? I'm glad He don't give me all the requests that I make. Because a lot of them I make, I don't really need those answers. Because a lot of times the things that I ask Him for are things that I really don't have a whole lot of need of, you know. And the thing that gets me about this too is that we expect Him to come and He's going to dump all these answers right down the chimney. And all I've got to do is leave Him some cookies and milk. That's all I got to do. God don't need to be a Santa Claus for us this year. I mean, He's the Savior of the world. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords, the Creator of heaven and earth. And we treat Him like He's Santa Claus sometimes.
Yeah.
Lord, I need. Lord, I need. Lord, I want. Lord, I want. Lord, I need. Lord, I want. And Lord, remember, I've been pretty good. And Lord, I've tried to be the best little boy or girl I've been. And Lord, I just remember all that. And then if we don't get it, then it's, oh Lord, these burdens are so heavy. Lord, would You carry them? Now listen, He says that He would bear. He said that He would help you carry those burdens. He said He'd help it make help you find the way to carry those burdens. But I'm gonna tell you something. God ain't supposed to be there at your beck and call.
Right.
If anything, you need to make sure you're available so you can be there at His.
Right.
He doesn't reward heaven for good and hell for bad, because I'm gonna tell you right now, the most of the congregation of heaven is gonna be full of sinners. Amen. Somebody asks me, if anybody asks me, says, hey, brother, how's things going down there at Heady Mountain? I mean this jokingly, but I say, oh, it's terrible, horrible. I say, why? I say, well, it's just the people. He says, well, what's wrong with them? I said, I can't get nobody to come but sinners. Nobody else will come. I can't get one righteous person to walk in that door, including the one behind the pulpit. That it's just full of sinners. That's all it is. Heady Mountain's in terrible shape. Got it full of sinners. You know the only good thing about a bunch of sinners being in here is every one of them knows that they wouldn't be here but by the grace of God. Say, so what's the only good thing about Heady Mountain? It's the God that we serve. That's the only good thing about us, because it ain't nothing to do with us. How's the people get? Because every time somebody asks me, how's things going down there at Heady Mountain? Every time I run into an old preacher or somebody from down the mountain that knows people up here, you know the one thing they want to know, especially if it's an old man? Well, are you keeping that Bill Connor in line? Well, has Candler Young got saved yet? That's what Lieber and Dills ask me all the time. Lieber and Dills, I see him and says, did Candler Young ever get saved? I've been praying God save him. And then I see Johnny Norris, and every time I see him, he says, you keeping that Bill Connor in line? I tell him the same thing. I said, aye, preacher, you know there ain't no hope of that. Say, what is it about this church? It ought to be nothing about this church. It ought to be nothing about the people in this church. It ought to be the God we serve. in 2020. My hope and prayer is when people look at this church, they don't look at this church and see the people. They look at this church and they see God. Because if we want God to be in His preeminent place, He can't be bearing these characteristics that we give Him sometimes. He don't need to be the bellhop. He don't need to be the positivity preacher that everybody just wants and desires. But He also ain't no Santa Claus that He's just sitting up there waiting on your list of requests to come so that He can just dump them out on you. But I also want to say this, and I'm going to quit. Y'all talk about some short messages. I'm giving you some. He ain't no genie in a bottle either.
Amen.
He ain't no genie in the bottle. You know. Oh, I need a wish. Okay. We rub the lamp and out He comes. That ain't the kind of God you and I have. He's not a spirit in a bottle waiting on you to let Him out so that you can He can grant your wish. Because you know what happens whenever we do that? We say, oh, let's get Him out. Lord, we're in a fix. Lord, we're in a mess. Rub, 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 rub. Out He comes. Lord, we need You to do this and this and this. But when you get done, back in the bottle. Back in the bottle. Put the cap back on it. Why? Because I need You to fix this problem, but I don't want You to tell me how to live my life. I don't want You to tell me the decisions I ought to be making. I want You to take care of this problem and then leave me alone. Get back in the bottle and leave me alone. Don't bother me. And that's the way that the majority of Christianity is treating your Savior. They're treating Him like He's a genie in a bottle. You know, Lord, my young'uns are sick. Lord, heal my young'uns. The Lord comes through and He answers the prayer. And then it's, all right, now get back in the bottle so I don't feel bad about whatever else I want to do. You know. Lord, I got this bill due and I don't have the money to pay it. You know. Lord, my marriage is busting up. My family's busting up. My job's breaking apart, Lord. It's falling apart. Take care of that for me, would You? You know what the problem is with a lot of these requests is you see people that are like this and they'll show up when they've got something going on and they'll show up when they've got a problem or they've got an issue or they've got a situation, and then when the situation's resolved, the issue's over and the pressure is off, they disappear. They disappear and then you don't see them until the next crisis. Those are the kind of Christians that's got God as their bellhop. God is their Santa Claus. God is just a genie in a bottle to them. They're not worried about what He thinks about them. They're not worried about following His leadership for a successful life and walk in His Spirit. All they're interested in is they're just interested in take care of my situation, take care of my problem, fix all the stuff that's wrong that I think is wrong, and then get in the bottle, go stand in the corner, or get back up to the North Pole and just stay away from me so that I can live my life. So that I can live my life. That's the kind of God that we've made Him. Don't tell me what to do. I'll make my own choices. You know, the one, and I'm going to tell you this and I'm done. But the one who, back in Psalm 8, who was awarded the name that was more excellent than any name in all the earth. He's the same one that they mentioned over in Philippians 2, where He says, wherefore God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name that is above every name. But it's also the same one over in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, where it says, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other name. And I'm going to tell you, that name is not bellhop. And that name is not Santa Claus. And for lack of knowing a televangelist, it sure ain't Joel Osteen.
Amen.
Amen. But it ain't genie in a bottle either. He's the Lord God. And He's the same Lord God in 2020 as He was in 2019. And He's the same Lord God in 2020 and 2019 as He was at Calvary.
Amen.
And He's the same one. But my hope and my prayer is, Lord, this year, please help me not to give you a characteristic that you're not due. You're due all sorts of accolades. You're due all the praise. But Lord, these characteristics are not owed to you, because you are better than any of this. You're greater and higher than any of this. You know, whenever it comes to, and I'm just throwing this out there, as a child of God, when you're questioning whether or not something is good or bad, what is it that helps you make that determination? Well, it ought to be that book in your lap, right?
Amen.
So if you're determining whether something's right for you or wrong for you, you go to the book. And you ask him, say, Lord, I need an answer, and I know this is the only place to get answers. But you know what is really great about that is that he only ever put one thing above his own name. And that was his word. The only thing above his name was his word. And the Lord said that he'd given him a name that was above every name. So the one thing you're using to compare him and answers is higher than his own name. So my prayer for us this year is, Lord, give us 2020 vision. Help us to see you clearer than we've ever seen you. To hear your voice clearer than we've ever heard it. And to see you move more than we've ever seen you move. This is a very, very exciting time to be a Christian. Say, what if this happens and that happens? Don't worry about it. Bible says, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about it. What if the economy collapses? But my God shall supply all your needs. You know, it's funny how that, but preacher, I just don't. See, that's where you start putting God in that bellhop mentality. See, I'm willing to let God be God as long as everything's good. But when things start going south and my faith is put to the test, am I still going to let Him be God? Or am I going to turn Him into something else as what would satisfy my desires? What would satisfy what I think I need? Preacher, what if the election doesn't turn out the way we hope it does? Then you need to trust that God's still on the throne and in control. And if He wanted this other person to be in office, then they're in office because He wanted them to be. You know, some of the best things that preachers in the past have said, the best things that ever happened to this country, is a depression. When people had nothing and they had to rely on God. They had to get close to Him. Funny how you start pulling them greenbacks out of somebody's billfold, and you take away all of that, and they just start panicking. God's going to be the same God today as He was then. And if He can take care of them, He can take care of us. But I don't want to award Him one of these characters. I don't want to make Him into one of these people. Somebody that's made up. Somebody that ain't real. What are you talking about? A bellhop? You think he's there just to make you happy, but at the end of the day, he's happy too because he's getting paid for what he's doing. God ain't. We ain't even going into the other ones. Don't want to upset somebody. But I'm going to tell you something. You don't make God something he ain't supposed to be and get away with it. Because God is who He is, and He's all-powerful, and He's almighty, and He's going to be who He's supposed to be, whether we want Him to be that or not. It just goes easier for you and me if we'll let Him be what He's supposed to be in our lives versus try to make Him something He was never intended to be. All right, Father, we thank You for this opportunity and for the time we've had. And Lord, I hope and pray that our eyes, our focus, and our direction is pointed toward you. Lord, we're not trying to get you to follow us. We want to follow you. Lord, I pray this morning that as we get ready to dismiss this service, my prayer and my hope is that, Lord, you'll go with us into this afternoon, helping us to be reminded of the fact that we are not the center of this thing. You are. And Lord, none of us would have anything that we have were it not for you. But Lord, we're praying and asking you to help us in this year.